words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This has been a weird Lent. I can't explain it, but it certainly has been filled with warfare. What I want to do is do something just totally different tonight for the sermon. Well, not totally different. Different! Daniel, go ahead and start that slideshow for us. I'm going to do about a 3-minute slideshow. I'm not sure why this started, but here we go. Last week, they had published that picture of Jupiter, that first picture of Jupiter. That was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. It's the most detailed picture of Jupiter. And I decided I wanted to get some other pictures from the Hubble Telescope. So I went to the JPL site and I downloaded all those pictures you just saw. Every one of those is real. Every one of those is a picture from the Hubble Space Telescope. And just incredible beauty in all of that. Just incredible beauty in all that. But I'll get back to those in just a minute, and the reason why, I'll explain to you the reason why I put those up there for you to look at. Anyway, I put that slideshow together and put the music to it. I just thought it was really cool. So it may have nothing to do with anything, but it was really cool.
So helpful. how awesome God's creation
it is. It shows how awesome God's creation is, exactly. But this has been a weird Lent, as I said. I was absolutely convinced that Jack Niederauer and Amanda Newcomb had lost their mind when I looked at the song selection for Good Friday. I mean, they called me and said they didn't want to put in the longest day. Yeah, it was fine. But then when I got the song list and I saw Hallelujah, My Father on Good Friday, I was like, okay, they've lost their mind. Hallelujah on Good Friday. And okay, there's got to be something weird. See, any good Anglican knows you don't say Alleluia, Hallelujah, or any praise at all during the entire season, but especially Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. You just don't do that. That's just not done. It's not Anglican.
Doesn't it mean praise the Lord?
It does mean praise the Lord. Hallel. Yeah. Anyway. So I figured they had lost their mind. But then throughout, well, just Sunday before last, we had a prophetic word about all the praise. I mean, how many songs during, praise songs during Lent have we heard? Alleluias. And then we had at least two Easter hymns, and we had a Palm Sunday hymn during the Sundays during Lent. And it's been a weird Lent. I mean, let's just face it. It's been a weird Lent. And the prophecy we had Sunday before last about that was that it was important for us to praise the Lord, and that's good. But we used Psalm 20. I'm sorry, I forgot to put... Daniel had put Psalm 22 in the PowerPoint, and then I went and changed the PowerPoint and I lost it in the process of changing it, so I apologize for that. But anyway, if you'll look at Psalm 22, most everybody is familiar with that. In verse 3 of Psalm 22, it says, "Thou art holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." You know, that's a good part of Psalm 22. But as you look at the structure of Psalm 22, it may help us make sense of what God is trying to speak to us about during this season of Lent. It starts off with what Jesus quoted from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he goes through this just anguished cry there in the first two verses. And then it goes to verse 3. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, you are the praise of Israel. Or, as you can see from the footnote, you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. And so he goes into this couple of verses of praise. And then in verse 6, we go back to, I'm a worm, no man, scorned by men, despised by the people. It goes on. And then verse 9, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From the birth I was cast upon you. And then it goes back, many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. And it goes on, dogs have surrounded me, I can count all my bones, etc. And then he goes through a plea, but Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. And then verse 22, I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him. And so it goes through praise. So you see the structure is, you got this, woe is me, everything's terrible, but you're God, and I know I can trust in you. I praise you because I know you're going to take care of all this stuff for me. And so it goes back and forth, back and forth. That's sort of how our Lent was, wasn't it? You know, it was just really hard. I mean, I would really prefer not to be sick on Good Friday. But, you know, hey, God is still to be praised. God is still to be glorified. And so our praises need to be interspersed in with our cries of anguish. And Jesus, even on the cross, is quoting from Psalm 22. And I think there's no accident in that. It's kind of directing you to, okay, look at this. See how this all needs to be put as one tight package. With every cry of anguish, there should be a cry of praise. Amen? All right. Well, now, Good Friday. Good Friday is about death. It's about the crucifixion and Jesus' death, yes. But it's also about our death, each one of us. I know the great mantra of Church of the Resurrection, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about the kingdom. But it is about you. It really is about you. It's about your death and your need to die to yourself. You need to die in Him in order to have the fullness of life. John 3:16. Tell me what John 3:16 says.
God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, to Him
and all, even if
He did not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Now that kind of puts it in this big package. But then it goes in the KJV, whosoever believeth in Him. God so loved the world, but then He gets personal. And He says, and whosoever believeth in Him. Alright? And that's what's important is, yeah, He came to save the world. But He came to save the world one person at a time. Each person who believes in Him, then He gives them the right to be called children of God. Alright? It is personal. Good Friday is personal. It's about personally accepting the death that your Savior made on your behalf. Okay? Death is a very personal thing. Think about it. Birth, well, every one of us was born. My mom was there when I was born. Okay? She really was. I don't remember it, but I'm standing on pretty firm ground and assuming that she was present. Now, when you die, there really isn't anybody to go through it with you in the same way that you're born. Death is a very personal thing. All right? No one can do it for you. You can't have a surrogate take care of it on your behalf. All right? Excuse me. Look at the epistle for today. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 10. I don't know why I said 12. Because my head doesn't work right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Because by one sacrifice He, that is Jesus, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I've read this in the Greek, and a better translation would be, by the single sacrifice He has made perfect those who are being sanctified. His sacrifice on Good Friday was about making you and you and you and you who are being sanctified. He didn't say saved. He said being sanctified. You're going through the process of being made holy. You have entered into a relationship with the One who is the Savior so that you can become holy. So He made this sacrifice. And all of those who are willing to go into that relationship with Him are the ones who are going to experience the benefit of the sacrifice that He made for us on Calvary. Are you with me? Okay. So again, we're talking about something that's very personal. Now, here's the reason I put all those beautiful pictures up there for you, okay? All of those pictures, like I said, were taken by the Hubble telescope, except for the one. There was one, the one of Pluto with the heart. I just had to put that in there because I just love that picture. Anyway, that was actually taken by the New Horizon spacecraft. But the enormity of the universe is what I was trying to get across to you by showing you those pictures. Our Father, who created all of that beautiful stuff and this enormous universe, chose you. He sent His Son to die for you. Now I want you to think about this. Daniel, go to the next slide, if you would, please.
See that? Now, that's that beautiful panoramic view is an assortment of about 100,000 stars. And they're all, and that's actually a very small portion of the Omega Centauri star cluster. All right. Now, why is that significant? The Omega Centauri star cluster has 10 million stars in it. And that's just one star cluster. Okay? Now, the reason why they're so colorful is they're coming to the end of their life. As a star begins to die, then various gases begin to escape, and that gives them their color. Okay? Like our sun is yellow, basically. All right? But as it gets older, it will become red, and then it will probably become a little more purplish, and so forth and so on. Anyway, we won't see it. You don't have to worry about it, all right? These stars are between 10 and 12 billion years old. But they're also 16,000 light years away. So the light that we see here actually happened 16,000 years ago. Those stars probably don't even exist anymore. Get that one through you. You know, that's mind-boggling, all right? That's truly incredible. It shows you not only the power and the majesty of God and His incredible creativity, but it also shows the longevity of our God. All right? Now, that's the same God who saved you by sending His Son on Good Friday. You're important. You are important to the God of all creation. Next slide, please.
He also knows them all by name.
He knows them all by name. Yep. Now, this one is really cool because what happened was they decided over at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, she's not going to bother anybody. It'll be okay.
More than
she was headed for the panels. Okay. Yeah, well, that might be a problem. Anyway, what they did was they picked a part of the sky that was dark. It had actually only three visible stars in it, and they pointed the Hubble telescope to that dark spot of the sky, and then on 841 revolutions around the Earth, they kept it on that one spot to capture as much light as they could. And that's what they found. Mm-hmm. These are not, they're so far away, they're not even visible with your standard telescope. Okay? Now, what's truly interesting about that is there are approximately 10,000 galaxies in that picture. All right? You can't see them all because it doesn't come through on the digital. But anyway. All right. Now, here's an interesting thing. 10,000 galaxies, all right? We are in the galaxy called the Milky Way, right? Everybody knew that, right? Everybody knows that. All right. Now, the Milky Way has 100,000 million, did you catch that? Milky Way has 100,000 million stars in it. Okay? Now, put that with that picture and the 10 million galaxies, you're talking about a lot of stars, right? And there are estimated, because nobody's taken the time to count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, over 2 trillion galaxies. Carl Sagan said, "The total number of stars in the universe is larger than all of the grains of sand on all of the beaches on planet Earth." Okay, put that one in your hopper. All right. And this is the same God who chose you and sent His Son to die for you, who created all of those stars. All right. I'm going to give you 2 more pictures. These are really kind of just cool. I think I've made my point, but they're just kind of cool. All right.
This is called the Pillars of Creation. That's the name that was given to it by NASA. All right? The Pillars of Creation. Stars are being born in this gaseous mess. All right? And deep inside those pillars, all of this cold hydrogen is coming together with the dust that's out there, and that's what's creating the stars. So just like I showed you earlier, those stars that were dying, here's what it looks like when a star is being born. Right, isn't that cool? Is our God not a cool God? All right, one more. Now, these are stars that have actually just been born. All right? And this is Pisces 24. All right? It's a new star cluster. It's only about 8,000 years old. Okay? And it's only about 8,000 light years away. So these stars are really old now. And that's kind of interesting in and of itself. So, all right. That was just for fun. Now, back to the main point.
Another point. Remember that DVD we watched that said that Earth very well could have been obscured by cosmic clouds and things, but instead it was placed at the perfect place to observe creation.
Yep. And there may be other planets out there around other stars, and they may have life on them. And that'll be all right. You know? And as I said once before about all that, maybe they got it right and we got it wrong. maybe they didn't fall in their own Garden of Eden. Maybe they did it the way the God wanted them to do it. But, you know, whatever. I'm not worried about it, you know, because God is still in control. But it's the same God who's in control of those stars and those planets or whatever's going on out there who's in charge of our planet. And He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die on our behalf, on your behalf, and on yours and yours, because it is personal. And we need to accept that this was done for us. All right? Now, back to that song that Jack and Amanda chose, which was perfect. That's why I didn't change it. You know, Hallelujah, my Father. Hallelujah, my Father. In His, Jesus' death, is my birth. In His death is my birth. But only if I accept that. Only if I am willing to die to myself. And so if I'm willing to die to myself, Hallelujah, my Father, in His life is my life. Amen?
Amen?
So yes, Good Friday is about us. But only as we are found in Jesus Christ and in His sacrifice. His sacrifice was for the world, but His sacrifice was for the world in each whosoever. All right? And that's where we have to come to on this day, on this Good Friday. It is personal. His death was for you, and His death was for me. And in that, we can all come together and say, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.